You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Hallelujah. How's everybody doing? I think y'all are going to already overflow the new building the way it looks in here. Listen, that place is nice. If you hadn't gone by there, it's Tipsy's Bar. I am so excited about getting a bar. Listen, do y'all get it? That's shoving out darkness. That's pushing out darkness. And let me just say this. I don't think they closed down because of its bad location. I don't think they closed down because they just didn't make any money. I really believe they closed down to get out of the way. I believe that God has everything in His control and He knows what's going on. He's not surprised by these things. So I'm super excited to be here today. I've got a word from God for you. And I just believe He wants to do something really supernaturally special for you today. I don't know exactly why everybody is here. If you're home folk, sometimes we're here because we're religious. You know, we just come because it's Sunday. We got to do it. If we weren't here, we'd be somewhere else. And I'm just saying, I'm believing today that your religious Sunday is going to turn into a supernatural Sunday. I'm believing in resurrection power, not because of Easter. I believe it because Jesus rose from the dead. I don't believe it because of a date. I believe it because of an event. And this morning, I believe the resurrection is in this room. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is in this room. Let me say I appreciate some of y'all. Yeah, well, okay, for an example, I needed to go to the restroom this morning. So Kim and Ola are sitting in front of the restrooms. And I just wanted direction, and they directed me into a closet. And Kim said this. I heard Kim say this. He could use a trash can. Didn't you say it? Just saying. So some people I don't know how I'm getting along with. And then I brought communion, and I go to Mike to give him a hug, and he said, "You bring that from the casino?" I mean, just... But I do appreciate all of y'all that worked yesterday. You're going to have work days between now and the time that building is finished. It won't be finished when you get in it. I'm just full today, y'all. Excuse me, but... Anyway, you're gonna be blessed to be in a place where you don't have to set it up and tear it down. Amen. And really. And let me say this to you: if we were in Hawaii, where you cannot buy land, I mean, you can't get it as a church, then you understand tearing down, breaking down, putting back up, and using schools and roller rinks and all of that. But when you're in America, we're thinking this is really not something we like to do. Especially on Sundays. And here's what happens. There's a transfer of guilt. I'm helping you right now. You got amen anytime. There's a transfer of guilt. There's a transfer of guilt with people doing stuff and people not doing stuff. And the people not doing stuff just don't care to do it. They don't want to do it or they can't do it. It doesn't matter why, because you don't have to. But there is that creepy feeling of I'm guilty of not helping. And so you don't like that, and I wouldn't blame you, so you go somewhere else because there's a guilt issue in your life over this. And I'm just so glad we're getting rid of it. Amen. That you guys are not going to have to set up anymore. You don't have to feel bad about it. You didn't get here early or you didn't stay late. All of that's going to be off of you. And that feels good to me. I appreciate Gary for an old man coming out and working yesterday. He did good. Gary, I appreciate you, but I really love your wife. There are some sweet folk kind of in pockets in here that help some of you bitter folk. But Sarah is such a blessing. She's one of the sweetest people. I mean, all hell could have broken loose this morning. She'll just smile. And, how you doing, Pastor? I love you. And let me brag on one other person. I was going to brag on Jim, but he puts me down in the rain under a bridge preaching this morning. Sends me a text and says, be here at 7. I thought, dude, I don't preach till 8 o'clock. I ain't going to 7. But anyway, I do love and appreciate Jim. And I don't know, 4 or 5 guys got saved this morning. I don't know what it was. Yeah, just praise God. Jim McChesney's doing a wonderful job. And the only reason he is because of God and Rose. And I'm going to tell you something else. Rose is a special person. And you need to know that every time I get to come, and I will get to come more often. I believe we're getting our schedules worked out in our new place, so I'll be able to come more often. I hope every 6 weeks or so, but if Gabriel will have me. But one of the things that Rose has done ever since we've been in Auburn and coming back to visit, every time I see her, the first thing she says is, "We are so blessed to have Pastor Gabriel. He is just doing a good job." I remember at Cathedral, he was just, you know, kind of hesitant and a little bit slow and, you know, and nervous. But boy, he's given us the word over here. So, Rose, thank you. I have not been to the casino, but I want you to get one. We got one of the Doobie Brothers. Now listen, if you're not born again, take a chance and get one. You don't have to take communion if you're not born again, but you might get saved between now and communion, so go ahead and get one. And I just want to give these to you myself, if y'all don't mind, because I want to have communion with you. Do you get one for both of you? Good deal. That'll help you stay married.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Boy, four pretty girls sitting back there. I said three. I was, which one of y'all is not, right? You better snag two. Stay out of trouble. All right, I'm going to go back here to this prayer team and everybody back here. What is this, y'all? Talk about back row. Oh, my. All right, coming down this aisle. I know I'm taking a little bit of time, but bear with me. Y'all don't have anything else to do. Right? Have y'all ever had communion like this out of a plastic bag? Grab one. Just get it and hold it. Yeah, I'm forcing you to. If you don't use it, just leave it on the seat. Don't worry about it. The reason I'm doing this is because I really feel like God's going to do something. He didn't get it. Gary won't stay married very long. Look at that. Smart folk. You better learn. He got one for you. He really did. Yeah, right? You didn't believe it either? All right, let me see. This row didn't get any yet. I guarantee if I'd gone to the casino, I wouldn't be doing this morning. I'd be counting my money instead of handing it out of a plastic bag. There's me and Ola.
He's going to give me one.
Oh, you get two? No. You need to do a good deed today. Well, you treated me earlier. Yeah, you need to treat somebody nice, all I'm saying. Look at that. Mike, how'd you train her like that? Ridiculous. All right. Now, some of y'all looking at this, like a dog at a new pan. When we take communion, I'll give you some running rules, but you're going to peel off that thin, don't do it now, but you will pull off that thin layer on top. You can get one for kids too if you want to. I mean, if you want your kids to have communion, they can take it. No problem. Nope? Okay. But anyway, we'll give you instructions later.
Thank you.
Just one day. Just one. You may need to, but just take one. And you did not train Rose. Oh, I did give you poker chips. Ooh, I forgot about that.
That's right.
Maybe I do go to the casino. Sonny, you need to start counting people. Ladies, guys, certainly not gentlemen. Does everybody have a communion cup? In just a couple minutes, we're going to tear the lids off these and take these, and we're going to celebrate the Last Supper. My wife told me there were things I'm not to tell you today because it's confusing and conflicting. And she said, don't confuse people. It's complicated. I said, well, I'm a complicated individual. Look in your Bibles. Let's go to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning at verse number 23. I want us to read, if you would, from God's Word. Hallelujah. Jesus in John 17 was praying, and he prayed for you. How many has ever had anybody pray for you? Felt good? Look at me. Jesus is praying for you right now. He said this. He said, Father, keep everybody that's already in and bring in those that are going to hear the word. So everybody in this room has been prayed for and is being prayed for. Those of you that are born again, he's just praying, keep them. And for those of you all that are outside or you've backslidden, you've got an issue, he's praying that you'll come into the Word. Let's look at this. Beginning of verse number 23, the Word of God says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. I'm going to stop here and just throw you a thought in here, right here. You're going to find the mention of the communion, our Last Supper, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels. Synoptic is synoptic, which means same view. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke have written their writings from the same viewpoint. John, on the other hand, did not. He wrote from another revelation. They even supposed that perhaps Mark wrote the first gospel and maybe talked to the other boys about what they were going to write because of the way that they coincided. One of the things you're going to find if you read those four gospels, you'll find them sounding a little bit confused about numbers and days in their writings. And here's the reason why. In the Bible, not everything is put in chronological order. And there were no chapter references, right? I mean, it was just running left to right, and they were writing and taking care of business. And I'm just saying this, as they were doing the writing, there were dates that would be in front of one. One of them was even when Jesus being killed, in the same context of that, it talked about people being raised from the dead, but a little clause in it said after the resurrection. So during the time he was dead, they talked about people coming out and saying it was after the resurrection. In other words, it's not here yet, but we're talking about it like it's already happened. You'll find that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, especially on the Lord's table. So I'm going to say this to you right now and go ahead and conflict you big time. You're not taking Passover, you're taking communion. Well, how are we going to go to a Seder on Friday? I don't know how you go to a Seder. I'm not a Jew. I don't know. But I'm not celebrating Passover out of Exodus. I'm celebrating a communion meal where Jesus said in Mark's gospel, he said, this is not Passover, this is communion. This is new covenant. We've been doing old covenant, we're doing new covenant. Y'all looking at me strange right now, but you have to remember, he did not take communion on Passover. It clearly says it was before Passover. All the gospels clearly say it speaks of Passover, but how many of you know the Bible said he got to Bethany 2 days before Passover was to be? He was there already. John says he got there 6 days earlier. And just letting you know that Jesus was already there. And I'll tell you something else. If you do a little bit of study on history and dates, you'll find out in 31 AD that there were two, during that week, there were two Sabbaths. There was the high Sabbath and there was the regular Saturday Sabbath. Why is that? It's because the Passover always was the 14th of Nisan. And that being understood, how many of you know on your calendar the dates change? Like Easter might be, you know, on the 5th of April, and next year it might be on the 30th of March, next year it might be on the 22nd of April. It moves around. Why? Because it's all set up on the solar system. And I'm just saying this, the same thing happens in your Bible. But in 31 AD, we find out that on Thursday, that was the 14th of Nisan, which means Passover was on a Thursday, then there was a day break, and then there was a Sabbath. Okay. Complicated, right? Go ahead and celebrate Friday, Good Friday. Go ahead and say, I'm good with that. Saturday, you know, Passover and Sunday resurrection. I'm not going to change that for you. I'm just saying this. Sunday won't change. Resurrection will be there. Saturday Sabbath won't change. It's there. You won't miss Passover. You just push it up 2 days. Now, some of y'all that look complicated at me, yeah, it's kind of, you know, glassing over. I'm just saying this, that Jesus needed 3 full days and 3 full nights in the ground. You can't get there from Friday to Sunday. Hallelujah. So what was he doing? He said, this is new covenant. Say new covenant. How many of you know there's an old covenant? There's Old Testament law. There's an old covenant. But how many of you know there's some laws and regulations in the new covenant? Right? Doesn't the Bible clearly say there's a law of grace? There's a law of faith in Christ Jesus? There's a law of love? Aren't there laws in the New Testament? Doesn't the Bible say that we're under the law of grace? I was under a law in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, I still have a kingdom I'm living in. I'm in a new covenant. As a matter of fact, even Paul said this in Titus 2:11 and 12. He said, the same grace that you're saved by is the same grace that teaches you to deny ungodliness. So for somebody that thinks they're going to be born again and stay shacked up, you ain't. You either one or you the other, but you can't be both. Amen. Because fornicators can't slip into heaven. Amen. You don't have to amen me too loud. I got one up here. That's all I need. Because what we don't want to do is offend people. We don't want to say anything about drunkards or homosexuals or liars or, you know, or the proud. We don't want to deal with anything because it makes us become a judge. But the Bible says this, we don't judge the people outside this building, but we better be able to judge what's in it. I mean, you know what the Bible says? That judgment begins in the house of God. And he said, don't worry about those outside in the bar, judging them, get them saved. You get concerned about who's in here. And I think sometimes we've overlooked that and we've made everybody feel good and go along to get along. And we forget that you can still sin and you still need to repent. Amen. So we got Paul now taking this new covenant meal. And listen to what he says with this. He says, I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord on the same night he was betrayed took bread. When did he do it? The same night he was what?
Betrayed.
He was betrayed that night, that evening at some point, and the next day he was killed. Am I right? How many of you know that wasn't Passover when he was killed? How many of you, oh, come on, help me out here. How many of you know that wasn't Passover? That was a preparation day because nobody hung anybody on the cross on that new Sabbath on that Passover. Y'all still tracking me on this? So the lambs were not killed on Passover. The lambs were killed the day before on the day of preparation. Jesus was killed when the lambs were killed. Say he was killed when the lambs were killed. But that's why the Bible says when John saw him coming, he said, behold the what? Behold the what? Behold the Lamb of God that'll take away the sins of the world. He says it twice as Jesus is coming into the water. You need to remember what Peter said about it. And he said this, that we're born again by precious blood as of the blood of a pure lamb. And I'm just helping you right now. On the day they cut the throats of those little lambs in the morning at 9 o'clock and again in the evening at 3 o'clock, that was a day of preparation because a priest could not work on a Passover, could not work on that holiday. Amen? So it was a day before. And your Bible says that it was before Passover that Jesus was taking this meal. If it were Passover, it'd be Old Covenant. Okay. I thought maybe that'd help you. But he had a new covenant. Watch this now. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the what? The new covenant. Where? In my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And it goes on in verse 26. We'll just stop right here. For as often as you, go ahead and get that next verse. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord till he comes. Let me just say something to you. This is not the blood. This is not his body and it never will be and it never was. It won't change in you as bad as you want it to. There's no Bible for it. Jesus did not become sin in the sense of that he changed his nature. He stayed the sinless Lamb of God. He stayed the sinless Lamb of God. He bore my sins. He took my sins. But those sins didn't corrupt him, because if they did, he couldn't take them away. He had to be a spotless lamb. All right, back and said another way. How many of you know in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 6? I won't read it, but they may throw it up on the screen or something. But let me just say this. When they were taking that first Passover, they were doing that. How many of y'all remember that they killed a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost? Look at me. The blood didn't change and the lamb didn't change. They stayed blood and lamb. When they ate bread, it stayed bread. And I'm helping you better than you amening right now. But Jesus Christ, when he broke the bread, he said, "This is my body." It wasn't his body in the sense of that it was changed into it. It was his body by the pretext that he said, "I'm letting you have my body." Let me say it another way. Jesus didn't change his nature to take my sin. This bread doesn't change its nature to be his body. It's his body because we take it in reverence of it being his body. Y'all still tracking me? I honor it as being the bread, his body. I honor this as being the blood, although it's not blood. It doesn't have to change its nature to be what Jesus says it was, because the lamb didn't change his. Just saying. Y'all still tracking me? So you have in here this interesting story, and Paul says, we're going to keep doing this, so we're going to have communion. So they have communion. Let me let you go back another place. Go back to John 13, because we're just going to kind of look through this a little bit in John 13. How many of you know that these synoptic gospels all record what happened on Pentecost? I mean, not on Pentecost, but on the day, yeah, that too. On the day, they were a little bit late for that. On the day of the Passover, they have all of that recorded in the Last Supper, right? So we got the Last Supper back there. But then John writes about the Last Supper. And in what we call it in the ministry, we call it the upper room discourse. In other words, it's everything that went on up there. Now watch this. If you look in the Gospels, you're going to find things that aren't in John's Gospel. For an example, let me just give you a quick shot on this. How many of you know that John 13 opens up with foot washing? Right? But look at me. That's not an ordinance of the church. Communion is, because he said do that. We've got people that make foot washing. I believe in foot washing. I believe it'll do us good. I believe it puts in some humility, but I don't bring it in as a doctrinal issue and make it become a staple of our services, because it was being done for another reason. How many of you remember why it was being done? Have you read your Bible lately? Do you remember when you read in the Gospels that the Word of God clearly said, and it was in Luke's Gospel, he said there was a great disturbance among the boys and an argument pursued out of it. How many of y'all remember that? That an argument came out of there. But what do you remember they argued about? Who's the greatest? So what did Jesus do? Huh? I'll show you who the greatest is. Your Bible says he put a towel around himself. And he got on his knees and started washing feet. Can I help you with this? They were having a disturbance, and they were having a competition, and they were upset at each other. And one saying, "I'll be the greatest." Another saying, "I'll be the greatest." And Jesus said, "The greatest is the one that will serve you all." Are y'all still tracking me? So the reason for the foot washing being there is not to make it a part of communion. It was because they were having a jacked up attitude. Amen? And hey, some of y'all need to wash some feet. Your own and then somebody else's. I'm just saying. There's a reason why. You don't do it for religion. You do it for humility. So if you ever go to foot washing, don't go there and say, "I'm going to have a foot washing like communion." You're not going to do it that way. You better be a humble individual. Make sure you're doing what's right. That's the issue. Y'all still tracking me? So if you read in the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, you're going to find that happened, and John didn't say it, but he started foot washing, but they never said anything about the foot washing because they were embarrassed, I guess. I don't know, but John brought it to the table. John was a beloved and brought it to the table. Something else you're going to note in there, that each one, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, only took a few sentences to talk about communion or the Last Supper, right? Only took a little bit. Not even full chapters to talk about it. Have you looked at the book of John lately? You need to look at this. You need to look in your Bible and read it when you get home, if you would. And here's the issue. John takes 5 chapters to talk about one night. He wrote 12 chapters in your Bible. He wrote 12 chapters to cover 3.5 years. But for one night, he took 5 chapters. There must be something important going on. Amen. Something good was happening at that Last Supper and in that upper room that John says, I'm giving it some time. I'm going to use what happened in one evening. Listen. He didn't even talk. That does not include Judas giving him up and going to the garden and going to Pilate. It includes none of that. It doesn't include the high priest. In chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, it's simply what happened in the upper room. He took 5 chapters to talk about what took a few hours, and 12 chapters to talk about what took 3.5 years. So you've got to say something's important in there. Amen? So we have these guys in this upper room experience. We have them with the Lamb of God himself. As a matter of fact, when Matthew wrote it, he said this happened 2 days before Passover. You'll find Mark saying that it was at least 2 days before preparation. And then you find Luke also letting us know it was a before Passover issue. And then John comes on the scene and he says, this is what happened. This is what went on there. How many of you all remember that two of the guys, Judas and Simon Peter, had problems that night? Do y'all remember that? Do you remember at the Lord's table that Judas had a problem? Do you remember it was at the Lord's table, that the Bible said that Satan went in to influence him to do what he was going to do, happened at the Lord's table? You know, if you'll do a little more study on this, you'll find out about how these guys were eating together. And one of the things that they would do at the Passover meal at the Last Supper, at the time when you're breaking bread, drinking that juice, and sitting together, is that they, at those supper meetings, they would lean on their left elbow, eat with the right hand. How many of you know the Bible says that John had his head on Jesus' breast? Remember that? He was at Jesus' right on his elbow, and when he talked to Jesus, he just leaned over. Do you remember when Jesus said, somebody's going to betray me? And the Bible said every one of them started saying, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Now, Peter had the right idea. He goes to the one that Jesus loved. He went to John. He said, John, can you find out who it's going to be just in case it's me? I don't think I'm going to, but would you just talk to him? And then John asked the question. He says, who is it, Lord? He said, it's going to be the one that I've broken bread with. Well, he did that with everybody. With the one that I dipped with, he did that with everybody. But then he said something to Judas. How many of y'all remember that? He told him, he leaned over to Judas. And that lets me know something. Judas was close to Jesus. Because when he talked to him and said, go do what you've got to do, everybody else didn't hear it. Well, how do you know? Because your Bible says it. Your Bible says that when he got up to leave to go betray Jesus to get the 30 pieces of silver to sell Jesus out, when he was doing that, the disciples, the Bible says, they thought he just went to buy some more stuff for Passover. He was going to go get some preparation for Passover coming. Do you remember that in your Bible? Because he carried the purse, then they figured he was just going to go buy something. It lets me know that Jesus didn't tell everybody. He just had to lean over and say, it's you, dude. Right? He gets up and he leaves and he goes out. Now, there's another guy there, because Jesus says, I'm going to have to go to the cross. I'm giving all this up. I'm going to die. And he said something like that. And then Simon Peter, he's just so good with his conversation. He jumped up and he said this. This is in the book of John. He said, I will lay down my life for you. John 13. I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus looked at him and said, no, I'll lay down my life for you. But your sacrifice isn't going to help me. My sacrifice can save a world of people. It's my sacrifice. I am the Lamb. And he looked at Peter and he said, you're going to die one day, but the death I'm dying right now, you can't do this one. You remember that? And Peter said, yeah, but I won't quit. And Jesus said, okay, Simon. Do you remember when he called him Simon? He only called him Simon in Luke's gospel. But he changed him from Rock to Simon. He went from Rock, who he was when he was in the faith, to his flesh, who he was in the world. He went, do y'all remember that in your Bible? He went from Rock to Simon. And he looked at him, he said, Simon, you're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows. You're going to be the one that's going to deny me before the rooster crows. I'm just going to say this to you. When he said that to him, he was saying it to Simon, not to the Rock. Because the Rock would have kept his mouth shut and the Rock would have stayed with Jesus. But Simon, on the other hand, Simon was working out of the flesh. So I'm going to help y'all this morning. We got a Judas in here. We got some Simons in here. Well, not me. Who is it? Let me help you. Let me help you. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying. Here's what it is. There are people like Judas. How many of you remember that Judas hung himself? Do you remember why he hung himself? Do you remember why? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible said he went to the priest. He went to the priest and said, "I am so sorry. Here's the money back." And they said, "Keep your money." And they threw it back at him. Do you remember that? And he runs out crying and hangs himself. Now, I'm going to help you right now. You can confess to everybody breathing, but until you confess to Jesus, you're not going to get the relief of your sorrow. You can come up and confess to preachers. You can confess to your wife and to your husband, to your children, to your mama, your daddy, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your granddaddy, your neighbor next door. You can go to the Catholic priest and confess to him. And I'm going to help you right now. That will not save your soul. It will not change your issues. But if we can learn to confess to Jesus, who already knows our stuff anyhow, and just say, "Jesus, please forgive me. I believe Judas would be alive today." But he couldn't find Jesus. All he found was people. Then you've got a Simon Peter in the crowd as well. Now Judas is the one that feels like, "I've done too much. I've been too far, done too much. God can't save me." He's the one that just doesn't believe God can do it. Then Simon Peter is the one that, he's the one that just can't keep it together. You know what I'm talking about? You want to do it, but you just can't keep it together. But here's what I love about him. I remember when Jesus came out of the grave, reading it in the Word of God, and the Bible says when he came up out of the grave, he talked, I think it's Mark's gospel, he talked to Mary and to Martha and talked to the girls that were there at the tomb, and he said, "Go tell the disciples," and what? Tell the disciples and Peter. Tell the disciples, the ones following me, not Judas, not Peter. Tell the disciples, I want them to come and tell Peter. Here's what I like about it. He switched his name back to Rock before he had even gotten to Jesus. And he said, "You tell him to come too, because I'm bringing back the family and I'm bringing back the stray. The one that went in the flesh, I'm bringing him back to Rock." Y'all may not understand it, but he's about to be a powerhouse again. I can do a miracle with him. And that's what happens to some of us sitting on church pews as we get to thinking, "I had a bad day and I said something wrong or did something wrong and I can't get rid of this problem and this habit and this issue," and you just feel like you can't go forward. I'm telling you right now that Jesus loves you and he's calling you into the body. He is not rejecting you. He's saying, "Tell the church and." So I'm going to tell you right now, your name's getting called today. Not me calling it, but Jesus is calling it. I don't care if you think that you can't be saved. Judas could have been saved.
Thank you.
He just didn't find Jesus. Rock got saved because he went back to Jesus. Do you remember that? If you read the book of John, a very interesting idea about that in this issue of the writing of John's gospel and the Lord's Supper. And just real quick, I'll tell you this. If you read chapter 13, it's really about humility, right? It's about humility. And then when you get to the end of 13 and you start 14, 15, 16 through 17, when you start that, chapter 14 is written to answer questions. Do you remember the head? I'll feed you this real quick. If you look at the bottom of 13, about the 36th verse, the Bible said Peter asked a question. Do you remember that? Jesus said, "I'm going away." And Peter says, "Lord, where are you going?" So you get chapter 14 and Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you'll be also. Don't be fearful. Everything's going to be all right. I'm going to take you with me. You're going to be there where I'm going." And then you have another question immediately after that, and it's old Thomas. And Thomas says, "We're going with you, but we don't know the way." Jesus says, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And if you're going to come where I am, you've got to come through me. He is the door of the sheepfold. He is the only one." And you can placate this world, and you can pat people on the back and say, "Yeah, Jesus loves you. You're a Buddhist. You're going to go to heaven." Jesus loves the Buddhist, but he ain't going to heaven. Jesus loves the Buddhist, he loves the Hindu, he loves the Muslim, he loves them all. But none of them are going to heaven unless they come through Jesus. There's only one way to get into heaven. And Thomas said, I don't know the way. And Jesus says, you do know the way, because I am the way and I am the only way. The Bible says there's only one name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Not can be, not will be, must be. Amen? So I'm going to help you right now. We're living in a society and a world and a culture of people that don't want anyone to lose. How many of you know you go to a little kid's ball game and they don't keep score? I'm thinking, why play? Right? I mean, I'm not going to play a sport and get my balls beat out and not get the accolades if I win. But we're afraid that we're going to hurt someone's feelings, so we want to be inclusive, so we're going to let all these little kids get out and play soccer together, but we're not going to keep score. I'm saying, get them animated. Get them excited. Give them a score, right? Is it just me or is anybody else like this? I'm just saying, I think we need some score somewhere so we can have some fun again instead of just running around like you don't know what you're doing. Make it be something you want to go back to next week. We beat them last week. We're going to tear these next guys up. Send them that. Just a little motivation. And in the issue of our society, we brought that into the church. And now we're just trying to love everybody, and we're just wanting everybody to go to heaven. And I do love everybody. I want everybody to go to heaven. But everybody's not going to heaven. And the only way you're going to be able to witness Jesus is to come up against their door and say, this door doesn't work. You've picked door number two, but it's not going to work. You've got to get door number one, and that is Jesus. And if you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to go through him. Amen. But he's not in our study. Doesn't matter where he is in your study. He is in eternity. Amen. Do y'all remember that? So just keep that in your mind. So we've got him wanting to know the way. And I'm just saying right now, it may be complicated, and we're going to love everybody, but only Jesus is going to save a soul. Amen. Amen. Say, only Jesus. Okay, you need to get that down in you. Love the sinner. Love the person who's not serving God. Love the one that's clouded up in ridiculous doctrines and religion. Love them, but let them know Jesus is the way. And Jesus loves them. Amen. And we love them. But there's only one way. And then there's another one asked a question. And it was old Philip. I love his question. He said this. Because Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to go to the Father. But I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. And Philip's listening to all that. He said, wait a minute. How are we going to see the Father? Another question. You know what Jesus said? He said, when you've seen me, help me out here. Y'all read your Bible? When you've seen me, what? Yeah, humor the old man. When you've seen me, you've what? You've seen the Father. He didn't say, I'm the Father. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. Do you remember a word in your Bible that's called glorified? Do you remember that Jesus would say, I'm going to be glorified, or I was glorified, or I am glorified? Can I help you on that? That's not Jesus being Jesus. That's Jesus being God. When Jesus glorifies himself, it is God that is seen through him. Let me help you right now. Jesus prayed for you in John 17, and he said, Father, glorify them. In other words, manifest yourself through them like you're manifesting yourself through me. He said, Philip, if you will only understand, you'll do greater things than I'm doing if you can get this concept. Jesus, I'm bringing as best I can. Jesus says this. He says, when you've seen me, you've, help me out, come on, humor me, seen the Father. And he said this. He said, I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I see the Father do. Now, let me help all y'all real quick. Look at me right here. Let me get this real quick. There's no cessation of miracles. There's no cessation of baptism in the Holy Ghost. There's no cessation of praying in the Spirit. There's no cessation of gifts. There are many movements that will say there's no more supernatural, there are no more miracles, because when Jesus went away, they went away. Or they'll stretch it out a little bit further and they'll say it only lasted about 80 years after Jesus, because when the last apostle died, then the miracles stopped. Let me tell you something. Jesus never did a miracle. Oh, Pastor. What did Jesus say he did? Excuse me a minute. What did he say he did? What I see the Father do. He didn't take credit for healing people. He said, I'm only doing what I see the Father do. I'm just doing what I see Him do. Can I help y'all right now? The reason I'm saying this is I know it was Jesus. I know the unction came from Him, but He directed the praise to the Father. Anywhere you find it in your Bible, He never said, worship me, bow to me, praise to me. He said, it's the Father I'm glorifying. It's God you're seeing in me. And here's the good thing about that for us as living 2015. God is in eternity. Jesus came down for 33 and a half years of time. Right? As long as He was in time, the Father did the work from eternity. So when Jesus left the earth, the Father didn't stop doing what He does, and that is allowing the anointing to flow through people and the power of God to flow through people. It was His life coming through us. He's in eternity. He doesn't stop because men die. He keeps going. If the Father is the one that allowed Jesus to do the work, y'all still looking at me mean. Acts 10:38, Jesus says how God anointed, Peter saying how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all of those oppressed of the devil. He did it because of the anointing from the Father. How do you know that? Because the Bible said He divested Himself of that. He divested Himself of Godship and came down as a baby. You just celebrated Him at Christmas. I just want you to know who you're celebrating at Easter. You're celebrating somebody that came up out of the grave. He went into the grave and He came up out of the grave. And when He came up, He came in the power and the glory. But when He went away, your Bible says He left gifts with men. And the Father's the one that anointed Him. And so the Father's the one that anointed Peter. And Father's the one that anointed Paul. And Father's the one that anointed John. And He's the one that anoints you right now. It is the anointing from heaven that lets you do what you do and say what you say. Amen? Y'all still tracking me? So that was the question of Philip, show us the Father. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, you need to be full of God. Because He hadn't stopped doing one miracle. He hadn't closed shop because He's not in time. He didn't get in time. He stayed in eternity. And I know it's just extra fluff for you, but I'll give it to you anyway. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Word of God says God put eternity in your heart. He didn't put time in your heart. He didn't put time in your heart. If He'd have put time in your heart, you'd quit. If He put time in your heart, you'd set a date. If He put time in your heart, you'd set quit in 1950. If there's time in there, someone will convince you that time's up. Can I tell you right now? God didn't put a clock in you. He put eternity in you. And that's how we live our life. I'm living my life not out of time. I'm living it out of eternity. I'm 64 and a half years old. Be 65 in October. Here's what I'm telling you. If I live to that day, it will be because I'm living out of eternity and not out of time. I'm not going to live my life like I'm running out of time. I'm going to live it like I'm going to be here forever. Amen? I'm just saying. So there was one more question. You know, you got to ask yourself the questions, right? If you read on down a little bit further, you find Judas, not Iscariot. And Judas also asked a question. And he says it this way. He says, Jesus, now tell me how we're going to manifest God. Wait a minute. How are you going to manifest us, the kingdom, and the world not get it? How many of you know the world doesn't get it? Okay. You know what Jesus said? He said, I'm going to tell you how it is because I'm not manifesting in the world. I'm manifesting in you. I'm not going to manifest myself in a bar. Those people ain't living for me. I'm going to manifest myself in Jesse. Now, this is going to help Jesse at the railroad because if it's only Sunday, that's when you're living for Jesus. Little high five, little knuckle bump. Okay. So if it's only Sunday, we're doing religion up in here. But can I tell you something? Come Monday morning, Jesse, the anointing of God is on you and He will manifest through you. And that's why the world says, y'all are so screwy. I can't believe you believe that stuff. I can't believe you're buying that fairy tale. Can I tell you why? Because we're the ones believing the Word. Jesus says you'll believe the Word and the Word in you will manifest the glory of God and the world won't be able to get it. Amen? How many of y'all got some people think you're nuts? Anybody? Listen, if you're born again, you got to have somebody thinks you're crazy. If you're really born again, I'll guarantee you, you need to raise your hand and say, I got a couple of them. Just go ahead and do it. Just raise your hand and say, yeah, I know it. Oh, okay. I'm helping. Oh, wait, three people? Really? Everybody raise your hand and say, I know people think I'm crazy. Yeah, okay. I'm just helping you out. We're not going to put you in a hospital or anything. I'm just saying, here's what I'm saying. What's in you the world can't get a hold of? What is in you confuses them. That's why we share what's in us. I don't have to know every verse in the Bible. All I got to know is I was like you, and I asked Jesus in my heart, and now I'm like who I am now. Something changed when I asked Jesus in. I don't have to know Romans Road. I just need to know the one that died for me and who saved me, and that will manifest. Chapter 15 is an easy one for you also. Chapter 15 is when he talks about relationships. He says, here's your relationship. You're going to relate to me like a vine and a branch. Remember that? He said, you're going to relate to me like vine and a branch. And if you don't bring forth fruit, we'll chop you off. If you do, we'll prune you. How many of y'all had a bad day? Anybody? How many's had a bad patch the last month or two? Okay, don't quit now because you had a bad patch. Because the Bible also says in John chapter 13, the Word of God says that in this world you will have tribulation, but you can be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Can I tell you right now, you're going to have a bad patch from now and again because we have a pruning going on. I'm not blaming God for it. I believe the devil's come against me, but God will not let that circumstance come against me and me go through it and not give me something good out of it. So you may have been through a hard time and a heartbreak, but if you allow the Holy Ghost, He can make it good. He can bring you to the other side of it if you won't give up while you're in it. And then he said, in that same chapter 15, he said, this is how you're going to relate to me, vine and a branch. Here's how you're going to relate to the brothers around you. You're going to love them. Look at somebody next to you and say, I love you. Who did you look at? Me? Oh, brother. I love you too, Doobie. Did everybody say to somebody, love them? John, did you tell your wife you love her? Okay. Here's what I'm saying. There's something in there in the upper room. Say upper room. We're still at the Lord's table, y'all. I mean, we have. See, y'all thinking we quit. We're off in the Bible. We're still in the upper room. We hadn't gotten to chapter 17 yet. We're still at communion. And he said, you got to love somebody. Do you understand now that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that you need to discern the body of Christ? You know why? Because that's who's sitting next to you is the body of Christ. That's who's behind you. Gabe Pleasant, you're probably in trouble, but you're going to have to love her anyway. So whoever's around you, you got to love them. Why do I have to love them? Because it's a part of the kingdom of God. And Jesus, on his leave taking in the upper room, one of the last things he says while before the cross, y'all going to love everybody. You're going to get your love on and start loving people. He moves on and he says, I'm going to tell you something else. As long as you're asking questions. Your relationship to the world ain't. If we act like them, we'll win them. You act like them, you'll lose them. They already think you're fake. They already think you're a hypocrite, and they don't want you coming around them, drinking and cussing and fornicating and talking like them and being like them and then saying Jesus loves them. Look, every drunk in every bar in town knows Jesus loves them. And has anybody ever been around a drunk? I mean, I used to go into bars and witness to those guys, stand outside of bars. I have not met a drunk that doesn't love Jesus. Amen. They all love him. And he loves me. I'm thinking, dude, he does, but you're going to have a hard time getting in the gate. Here's all I'm saying. Jesus said there's a relationship with me, there's a relationship with the brothers and sisters, and there's a relationship with the world. And you are not going to be a part of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. So quit acting like the world. I saved you out of the world. You know what your Bible says? You weren't saved in the world. You were saved out of the world. That's why he says the world's going to look at you sideways. And some of y'all, when you say, everybody loves me, Jesus said you better be looking out. Because the time you think everybody loves you, you are in trouble. I'm not saying being obnoxious. I'm just saying being a Christian will come against the world's code and their direction. Chapter 16, he said you're going to need the Holy Ghost to do it. In chapter 16, he said, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send back the Holy Ghost. Because everything I've talked about since chapter 13, washing y'all's feet, you can't do without him. You can act like church. You can clap your hands at church. You can jump to the music. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to need the Holy Ghost to get out of here. And he said that's what he's sending back. So I'm going to tell you right now, a whole chapter's given as he's in the upper room saying, when I leave, I'm sending back the Holy Spirit. The things I told you to do, you'll be able to do because of him. Okay, chapter 17, and we're out of the upper room. We'll take communion. Y'all ready? Amen. Chapter 17, real quick. Here's chapter 17. Chapter 17 is this. I'm going to pray. So y'all bow, not me, Jesus, because I was going to say bow your heads and y'all all start dropping your heads. At least Mike would. So I'm just saying, Jesus told them, he said, I'm about to pray. And he prayed for three people. He prayed for himself. He prayed for the believer. And he prayed for the sinner coming in. He said, Father, I want you to glorify me again, and we're going to be one again. I'm leaving here, and I'm going to be in you. And as I'm getting to you, be glorified in me. When I'm hanging on the cross, I want them to see God's sacrifice. When I come up out of the grave, I want them to see the power of God. I want you glorified in me. And he gave a prayer. He prayed, Father, glorify me. And then he prayed for the church. He said, let them be in unity. Let them be in one mind and one accord and keep them together that they can have the power of heaven on their lives. Father, keep them with your power and your grace. He prayed for the church. He prayed for us. But he didn't quit there. He said, and Father, I pray for everyone that's going to hear the word and come in. I've been praying for my daddy for 20 years and he's worse now than he ever was. I'm going to help you right now. Jesus is also praying for him. He said, everyone that hadn't come in yet, I've got my hand toward them. Can I tell you one more thing about Jesus? He has a compassion for the lost. He's not going to quit on them. When you give up, he'll still be for them. I don't think Jesus takes lightly people going to hell. He died that we wouldn't. Now look at me. Jesus did not turn into sin. He was made sin for us. Read it close. Read it close. Read all the Gospels. Read everything that was said about that. The making of sin didn't mean he became sin in the sense of he's corrupt. Look at me. If he's corrupt, he can't die for me. You're not amen to me now. You can't put a dirty lamb on the cross, y'all. So you got to figure out when did he take your sin. He didn't become your sin in the sense of he became a dirty lamb. Paul said it this way, Galatians. He said he took the cross like a big ugly stick and he defeated the devil and disarmed him in the cross. He was the precious lamb, the valuable lamb, the spotless lamb. And when he took on our sin, he bore it on himself. Well, the Father God turned his back on him because he was a sinner. He did not turn his back because Jesus was a sinner. Jesus never was a sinner. I imagine he turned his back on him, maybe because he had the sin on him. He took the sin on himself. Maybe that was it. But you know what I thought about earlier? And my heart broke over here. I thought, well, maybe it was because that was his boy. Mm-hmm. I just thought, when I looked around here and saw these curtains, and I know that Gabriel gets here at 4:30 in the morning or 4 o'clock on Sundays, and I am bragging on him, if y'all don't mind. That he gets up like that and he gets up to this church bringing his little boy with him. And so he's dragging in up here around, I don't know, 5 o'clock or so and starting to set this stuff up. I sat over here and I looked at these curtains. I'm so glad y'all getting out of here, y'all. But I looked at these curtains over here and I got to thinking, my son set this stuff up. And there's a few others that came in. I know David and some others come in. I don't know everybody, but just let me say that he was in here early to do that. He's your pastor. He was in here early setting this up. You need to get the idea that someone put this up. There's not a curtain fairy that comes in on Saturday night and does this. Someone physical comes in. And my heart broke over there. And I thought, my son made preparation for you to be here. Now, that's just the earthly daddy. I'm going to tell you what your Bible says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. He said, you are evil in your love for your children, but I love you greater than your mom and daddy. I love you more than them. Can I help you right now? There's a living God that looked at his son on the cross and said, that's my boy. And I'm going to know about y'all, but I'd get a pain in my gut. I know that feeling when my kids get hurt or grandchildren. It hurts me down in the bottom of my stomach. I don't know, but maybe God just turned his back because he had a father's heart. Amen. What if he had a father's heart? What if he was who he said he was? Well, if he were God, he wouldn't have an emotion. How many of you know that you've got emotions because you're made in his image? Amen. You're not. You don't have emotions because you're crazy. I'm just not emotional. Everybody's emotional. Amen. You just haven't found what pulled your trigger yet. Let's all sit for communion today. Can you peel off that little thin layer? There's a top layer, very thin. Get it first and your bread will come off. I do not presuppose that the lamb turned in to the sin for the exiles and the slaves of Egypt. I believe it stayed a lamb. I believe they took it in their house. I believe they ate a lamb. I believe what happened, though, is that lamb took the pressure of the death of the firstborn. And when the angel saw the blood, it would pass over. He didn't see the blood change. He saw what it was. I want you to factor this in. This is a piece of wafer I got at Lifeway. But this morning, this represents the body of Jesus. How many of you know it's by his stripes we're whole? How many of you know that it's going to be his body? Now, I'm going to give an altar call for salvation right here. There, the Judas and the Simon, the one that doesn't think he can be saved and the one that just stays jacked up. I like what happened when people try to figure Jesus out, and I love it because we all run to Isaiah 53, one of my favorite chapters. And it says this. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. A transgression is a Judas. You knew you were doing wrong, baby. You stepped over the line and you knew you did. And you said, I don't care what God says. I'm doing this. I'm feeling good about it. I'm going to do what I want to do. Can I tell you something this morning? That's us, and we step over that line. But the Bible says, in his body, he took your transgression. Transgression is what you do. Let me help Simon over here, because he said something else. He said, I was wounded for your transgressions. That's the big marks. But the next part of that verse says this. It says, and I was bruised. How many of you know you can have a bruise before you discolor? How many's ever been bruised? Yeah, you don't have to change colors to be bruised. My wife got a bruise on her arm. She said, I hurt myself. I don't know how I did it. There's a bruise right here. And I, you know, we look for discoloration. But the bruise isn't on the outside, baby. The bruise is on the inside. The darkness or what comes up is the result of the bruise. The bruise is underneath. That's where Simon is this morning. It's something in you. It may be a little thing, but it's grinding away and you don't feel good about it. And you were just wanting somebody this morning to say that Jesus loved you and he was bruised for that iniquity. Iniquity is that thing not seen by everybody. So if you're here and you've transgressed, or if you're here and it's just that nagging bruise, how many of you know once you get a bruise, you're bumping on everything? Stupidest thing. You get a bruise and it hurts everything. Can I tell you something? There are people sitting here that perhaps you do real good 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months, but all you got to do is get the right trigger and that thing comes back up. It just comes back and you don't like it, but it's like a bruise. You touch it again and it starts all over.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.